I don't have a lot of scripture to go with this. This is just some kind of conjecture. Just want to do closure on the old and the new. Okay. So, as I was looking at the old and the new, I was wondering, does that have anything to do with worship styles today?
Say that again.
Does that have anything to do with worship styles today?
The
old and the new. So, at first I had a whole little paragraph in my lesson notes or whatever to talk about how we could leverage this old and new into worship. And then I backed off because I'm like, I don't know if this really applies. But I do want to talk about it very briefly so that we can deal with some things the right way. So, I'm an old school guy. I got saved on Blessed Assurance. And when I die, if I can make my funeral arrangements, that's one of the songs that's going to be on my list is Blessed Assurance. I walked down the aisle. I still remember that Wednesday night when I walked down the aisle with Blessed Assurance. That's a wonderful song. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I just love that. Man, that's good stuff. But I'm also a little bit of new school, too. In fact, I used to be a radio disc jockey for a Christian hour, 2 hours or whatever on the station in Dayton, Ohio. And it was common for the program manager to call me up in the middle of my show and say, what's that you just played? Because it's like some Christian rap. I'm like, hey, God is doing a new thing, you know. So, but when we look at the old versus the new, are we supposed to throw away the old and just go with the new as it pertains to styles of worship? No. So we're supposed to embrace the new and throw away the old. Oh.
I think we combine them.
Okay.
I think what matters is, is your heart worshiping or are you just playing?
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about... Yeah. So I wanted to go there because we've been so caught up on blowing out the old and picking up the new. But when it comes to worship, there's still some foundational stuff. Even the Old Testament still has significant value, all right? But God is fulfilling it through the New Testament. So the old styles of worship and the blessed assurance and... Oh, there's another one I want at my funeral. One glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
Yeah, my brain that movie.
All right.
George Clooney.
But I'm also going to have some Lecrae in there, too. Only God can judge me. Yeah. So it's important that we not get stuck on the old, but that we're sensitive to the new. And one of the things that I like, the example I like using is, anybody here ever fish? All right, Norm just perked up from his coffee there, so he must be a good guy. All right, so I fish from up north, and I fish for crappy and bass or whatever. You know, I don't do that whole perch thing or whatever unless somebody, but you know, I'm crappy and bass. And so I know what I fish for up north where I'm from. You know, small minnows, chubs, things like that or whatever. What do they use down here?
Depends on what you're fishing for. Are there minnows? Wild minnows? Or there's lures, worms, crickets.
Yep. Yeah. So I like what Davey and Roger said. It depends on what you're fishing for. So if I'm fishing for crappie, all right, but I'm using catfish bait or whatever, I may not get what I'm fishing for. So in order to catch what I want to catch, I might have to change the bait that I'm using to attract them, to bring them in. Do I even need to go any further on the old and the new? I've heard different stories. In fact, I shared this at the prison today, and they gave a story of, you know, there's a young guy, and he's like, you know, Christian rap, and he was playing it or whatever, and his dad, you know, Pentecostal minister, comes up and says, "Hey, I don't ever want to discourage you from ever coming in late, so you just get here when you can." Amen. Just get here when you can. Because I know what you got to deal with to get here. Amen. All right. Hey, I like that jean jacket.
Thank you. Where you want it, huh?
No, I don't want it. It's straight up. It goes with my afro. All right, here we go. All right, so... And the example that he used was, dad was a Pentecostal minister, and when he heard that boom, the boom, the boom, boom, or whatever, you know, he said, "Oh, no, you can't play that around here, that's of the devil." And it very well might have been. But how do you know? And you can know. You can know. And when I was playing gospel Christian rap, what helped me was, one, there's some things there that I hear in the lyrics that helps me as a believer, especially when I used to go out to evangelize. I just felt like I needed to have a little bit of that beat as I'm going out to the world to evangelize, to give me that whatever I needed. Yeah, almost like something I would play before a sporting event, before a basketball game or a track meet. I'm like, okay, I need something that's going to pump me up or whatever. And Blessed Assurance is good, but that ain't what I really pump me up right now. So I just wanted to make sure, as we're looking at the old and new, because one of the things that grieved me when I heard the story this morning was the old guy was so fixed on the old that he did not want to bring in the new. And it's important for us to bring in the new. If we're stuck in our old way, it might be hard for us to attract others into the kingdom, because I'm fishing for souls. So I might have to change my bait in order to bring them in. Yes, sir.
Paul is an example of that.
I'm all things to all people. Yeah. But for the sake of the gospel.
The message was the same.
He broke it down to meet people where they were. So the review is over. That's what I want to make sure.
So this question came to me while I was getting ready this morning. And I wasn't going to ask it, but since you're doing the review, now I'm going to ask it. How do we discern, like, red flags for ourselves when we're living in the old and not in the new?
Yes. So, there's
and
a couple...
We've gone over, this is what you do when you recognize that you got to
go
through the steps.
Right,
like,
right.
All of that.
Right. Yes.
Red
flag moment. So, if I hear some new stuff, all right, especially with music, because if I sing a song like... "Summer breeze makes me feel fine, mm-hmm. blowing through the jasmine on my mind." All right. That just took you guys back to another place in time. And it might be a place in time that you were not focused with Jesus on your mind. So that's the danger with some of the beats that are adopted and brought into our worship. It might take me someplace where I don't need to go. So that's one litmus test. The other thing is, if I'm trying to evaluate, and this goes into the lesson today too, if I'm trying to evaluate whether something is good or bad or whatever, me personally, I go through the steps. One, what is this doing for me? Where, you know, do I need this? Two, I'm processing this. Is it taking me back someplace that I don't need to go? Three, does it line up with the Word of God? And am I getting hope or seeing fruit coming from this? One of the things about Christian rap that I saw when I felt like it was led of the Lord, I saw the fruit. I see young people coming to the Lord and praising God. I'm like, man, I'm not getting in that. I mean, it might not be my flow, but that's, hey, all right. And then four, does the song, music, style bring God glory? And if I don't see those four things there, then I'm not with it. It might be for somebody else, but it's not for me. And it may not even be for your church. Last example, and then we'll move on. When you catch fish, and you catch a bunch of fish, catching the fish, are you done? No. What's next?
You got to clean them.
Got to clean them. What happens if you don't clean the fish?
You can't eat them. It's all.
And I have personally, I have to be very careful that what I listen to, and I pray about churches that go too far down it, because if the purpose is to bring people in, that's great, but you're not through. You have to clean them. You have to process them. You have to train them. You have to prep them, because if they just come in unchanged, then you got a church that will spoil. And the world gets caught up in our worship. And somebody's playing something, but it ain't for his glory. And then we're sitting up there grieved. Yep. So.
Excellent. At least it'd be like you coming in here and giving us the word and then not giving us an application. All right, I got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is one reason why I ain't giving up this class, because I'm just having too much fun learning from the Lord. You guys help me as much as I hope that I'm helping you. That's why I love what we're doing here, because I've never been in a Bible study, very few Bible studies that apply this word, like Joe Hancock, that apply this word, that I'm a better Christian and a better minister when I come out of this. I actually know how to make this Bible work for me now. All right. So that's one of the things.
This class is a discipleship and not a Bible study because of the way it was doing.
Praise the Lord for that. Okay. All right. Last review exercise, because I promised Dina that I would go through this. So you got it. All right. So, and then we'll get into the new stuff.
He's moving his camera.
Oh. Now, for a minute, I didn't know what it was. I'm like, is that? I wasn't sure for a minute.
Okay.
All right, there we go. All right. So some kids asked me, this ministry asked me to go and speak to these kids, basketball thing, about a couple weeks ago. And at halftime, somebody would go and give the devotion. And so they asked me to come and give the devotion, even though I'm not coaching this year. They asked me to come to give the devotion. So I was like, great. So I had this wonderful devotion planned out, prayed about it. I said, I'm going to get these kids, because they're grade school kids. I'm going to get these kids to understand what teamwork means. And that you can't do some things by yourself. You need to be a team, and you need to be able to surrender to God in order to make it. So I had this wonderful plan. So I came out there, I had my basketball, and I said, give me the best player out here. And some guy raised his hand and came out there. You know, I had to do this twice. And he came out there. I said, do you think you can beat me? Do you think you can win? And, you know, he said, oh, yeah. And I just went right by. Just, you know. I said, I think you need some help. And so he called in all the rest of his little croonies or whatever to help. I'm like, now do you think you can beat me? And they said, yeah. And I still dribbled through because they didn't have enough people in there, so I dribbled through and lay up. And then all the parents and folks there were watching, like, ooh, ah, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, it just took like six guys. So they bring both teams up, and they're working together now against me. And I'm like, do you think you can beat me now? And they're like, yeah. I said, what's the difference, blah, 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 you know, because we're a team. So now, you know, you can't, you know, you when you're a team, it works better than you trying to work independently by yourself. So that was the first through third graders. So now the fourth through sixth graders come out, and I bring the best player out there again, and I'm like, do you think that you can beat me? And he says, I don't think so. I'm like, wow. So I said, why not? I said, I'm not good enough. I can't do this on my own. I said, so what do you think you need to do? I think I need to cry for help. So I said, you need to do that. Mm-hmm. And he cries for help. And his teammates look at him like he's crazy. I'm like, you got a teammate here who's crying for help. And as a team, what are you going to do? And they all of a sudden, they got the message. And they run out on the floor. And they're all in front of me there. And I'm like, wow. And one girl, little girl, she's like, she's got her fist up. She's ready to fight. And I'm like, yeah. And I looked at the young guy, you know, and I'm like, do you think you can beat me? Do you think you can win now? And he said, yes, because I'm not by myself. I said, let me be the problem that faces you. Let me be the test that you may not be able to pass. Let me be the circumstance that your home has got to be. Let me be that bully who picks on you or whatever. And now know that you don't have to deal with that problem in front of you by yourself, and that God's already said. And so, man, just powerful message. And then I dribble against him to try to score. And I missed the shot. And they got the rebound and put it back in. So, message there. So, as the rest of the team sits down and they get the message, I call the kid out again. Because I heard one of the kids go, oh, yeah, he's 60-something years old and, you know, we got this or whatever. So I brought him back out again. And I'm like, do you think you can stop me by yourself? And he goes, no. And I put a little move on him and did the little finger roll and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, question. See anything wrong?
Yeah, I don't think you need to go there.
You feel now.
You're embarrassing.
Oh, y'all making me feel bad.
Yeah, he said no.
Well, you done gone through all that when you did that.
I had already proved it.
Right.
I already proved it. So why did I do the extra step that was embarrassing, perhaps?
Right.
Some of the old
slept
back in. At what level was I at when I had gotten the message across? I'm sitting around 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Right around 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the temptation came at step 6. And I'm still thinking that I'm at that high level where I'm bringing glory to God. And I called that kid out again.
Is it because they beat you at home?
Well, that was another issue. Because I took a shot and I missed the shot. As I was leaving, do you know what I was thinking about? You know what the regret I had? It was not calling the kid back up again.
You missed the shot.
I missed the shot. Yeah.
Yeah, turn the volume up.
Well, you double up.
Oh, okay. So I missed the shot. And I said to myself, it would have been better. Maybe I should have took a different shot. I should have come up with a jumper. So, because I could have made that shot.
There you go.
And there's no I in me.
That's right. Together,
he
everyone is cheese.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, you go ahead.
Maybe when that other child out in the audience said, "Oh, he's 60 some years old."
Ooh, I was looking for him.
Yeah. If he had been quiet, he'd have been okay.
Yeah, if he'd been quiet, I would have been okay.
So,
now,
the moral of the story is
you
careful
you
how
bet.
We react.
When you on the mouse bus, come on, you step in, come on.
Because that old pride will slip back in, yeah, even though you're doing something good. And by the time I got back to my car, I started rebuking myself and saying, no, it was a good thing that you missed the shot, McFly. Because that was the point.
Did you negate your message, your original message?
No, because as I walked out, I gave him $20 and said, thank you for blessing me. No, I did. And he tried to give it back to me. I said, no, I ain't got time to work for it. No, God bless you. You helped in the ministry of getting the message across. So here's $20. God bless you. It's the smallest thing I have in my pocket.
And then I
wished I had a 5 in there, but I gave him a 20.
That's what you were supposed to do.
Amen. All right, that's the review. Does that make sense? Do we have something that we need to watch out for as we do? Because that it will always try to resurrect itself. All right. I felt so bad about that. But I feel better because now I can turn that into a testimony. All right. That's review. That's not my phone. All right. Let's turn